Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day, getting ready to have a great weekend. Might even take a couple phone calls this hour. Anybody else, Ramos, feel like answering phone calls? Ramos like, no. No. I am vaccinated, kids. Vaccinated. I'm good. So, Gavin Kinsel, you're vaccinated too, right, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Ramos is vaccinated. What about... Finley, you vaccinated?
Not yet. Waiting my turn. And it sounds like everybody now, 18 and older is able to get in now.
Yeah, you can pretty much go get in. They had a deal yesterday in LA where they were like, hey, anybody 18 and older can just walk up. Now all of a sudden they had like lines like, whoa, wait a second, shut that down. So you got to make an appointment. And there's a little bit of a line. You know, I got there today. I had this is West Coast time. I had a 9:50 appointment. As you guys know, I'm nowhere ever early. I was actually early. I got there at 9:30. By the time I got to the front of the line, it was ironically 9:50. The way it works at the place that I went, you go in, you like register, you show them your ID, you show them your barcode, they take your temperature, then you go from that waiting table then to a waiting room, you know, where everybody is in chairs 6 feet distance, and then slowly they call you up and you come up, they ask you a couple questions, they give you the shot, and then you can stay there for 10 to 15 minutes to make sure you don't have any adverse reactions. As you guys know, again, I'm a per person of zero patients. I was like, I'm good. And I ended up going to the restroom anyway, because I was like that whole time in line, like, man, I had coffee, I gotta go. And that ended up being close to my 10 minutes anyway. So still alive, still kicking. I've noticed this about the different companies, right? There's Johnson & Johnson. That's the one I got. That's the one shot wonder. There's AstraZeneca. What else is there, Ramos? Ramos knows.
Pfizer and then Moderna.
Pfizer and Moderna. It's a little bit like, and we're in California, so it's not as much this way in Southern California. But in the Midwest and the Southeast, Southwest, you guys know this. If you're a truck guy, wherever your truck is made by, like, that's your truck company, and anybody else somehow has picked an inferior truck. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I've owned a Ford truck, I've owned a GMC truck, I've driven a Dodge truck. I like trucks. I like the Toyotas, I like the Nissans. I like the newer they are, the more bells and whistles. Like, my next purchase is going to be a pickup truck, going to be a truck, probably the four-door variety. Like, I just like a big truck. I mean, I'd love it as a third vehicle if I could afford it instead of my go-to vehicle, right? But I like a truck. But if you ask like Dodge truck guy about Chevy truck, you'd be like, you got a Chevy. hey, Jim, he's got a Chevy. Stop laughing. No, he bought a new Chevy. You ask Ford guy about a Dodge, you'd be like, Vito, this guy's got a Dodge. Are you kidding me? Vito, stop laughing. Chew your food first, then you stop. Right? That's how it's kind of that way with the... Okay, Ramos, you did J&J as well?
I did, yes.
Did you do J&J on purpose? Was it just the first one that came up and they're like...
On purpose.
Okay. Why? Because you just wanted the one shot thing?
I wanted the one shot, and I... not that the other one... I think all of them are fine for different people. I just felt like that one was a better fit for me personally, so that's why I chose it.
In what way? What should I know about it?
What should you know? I just felt for me, because I had some allergies here and there, and I just felt like the other two may have a little bit more dealing with the allergies than this one did. I'm not a doctor again, so please, this is just my opinion on it.
I didn't know how much you researched it.
I did look into it. I would type in, if I'm allergic to this, you know, can I still take this vaccine type of stuff? And I know a lot of the doctors have said that all of them are good. The interesting thing, Doug, is when I got the shot, the lady said to me, you know, are you allergic to anything? Like, it's called aphylaxis? Is that what it's called? Aphylaxia or whatever? Were you
Aphylactic shot?
Anaphylactic shot.
And I said, well, no, I don't believe so, but I am allergic to bees. And then she like rolled her eyes and looked to the sky and went, uh-oh, that's not a good sign. And then she goes, okay, here you go. Like, oh boy. So then it freaked me out.
She's like, Doris, check his pulse. Check his pulse, Doris. Oh, I'll tell you what happened with me, I'll tweet this if you guys want. The nurse who wrote down Johnson & Johnson, she misspelled Johnson & Johnson. She wrote Janssen.
They wrote that on mine, too.
Yeah, I think Janssen, I don't know why they write that.
Yeah, it must be some part of the company. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe Janssen is right.
Yeah, like, yeah, they wrote that on mine.
Okay. Okay. Did you get, you got the Johnson & Johnson as well there?
I did. It felt for me a lot like the Seinfeld episode of the Soup Nazi, where I was just saying whatever they wanted to say so I could get the shot. Right. They were like, you know what's in it? Are you allergic to anything? Just,
what do you do for a living? Like, yeah. I don't know. What's going to get me this shot?
It's pretty much that's what happened.
That's what I did on the website. They're like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, what are you? Are you going to check my pay stub? Like, no. I mean, yeah, I would say this is necessary. What was the term that they used for businesses that got to stay open?
Essential?
Essential. I'm an essential worker, right? The show is called the Doug Gottlieb Show. I have an essential worker card, so I put myself down as an essential worker. But there is, have you come up on people who are like, what kind of shots you get? I got Johnson & Johnson, like, should have got Moderna. How are you doing? My thing is like, the chances of me getting the second shot are so slim.
Very low.
I already got one, and you want me to get another one? Like, I'm fine. I'm fine. I've been around people that have had it. I never tested positive. Maybe I had it once upon a time. Like, you want me to get another one? No, I'm good. Just give me the one that's won. I know my own self. I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. And if you tell me I can sit down once and get a shot and maybe I'm a little sick for, you know, not feeling great for 2 days. Like, that's so much better than blowing off the second shot, which is without any question going to happen.
It does feel interesting when you have the new one and it's only one shot. It's like having the new version, like
totally
the newest iPhone.
Totally. I have a new iPhone. Do you know how to use it? Like, no, but it's got a really cool camera. That's
the Pfizer is the flip phone to me, you know.
The Pfizer's the flip phone?
Maybe not that old. Maybe it's the iPhone 3GS or something.
Well, the three of us are all inoculated. So like, now I can go and like lick doorknobs again, right? And just not care.
I don't think so, but.
Now, Ramos, you still wearing your mask?
I am, yeah.
How long is that going to last?
That's a good question. Well, hopefully my wife will be inoculated this week as well, coming up, because Brian said, it does open up to a lot more people, and she's under any of the actual things that you can go to right now. So, maybe after that. I mean, I don't know. Gavin and I have talked about it here in the studio, but I know that there are rules still here at Fox.
There are rules, but the CDC does say, since we are both vaccinated, we should be able to
make out. Like,
I've been waiting for that, actually, Gavin. So,
it's like,
tell Suzanne first.
Yes. Listen, she's okay. It's part of the disease.
I do know we have to wait. I think it's like two. Well, you're already past the 2 weeks, I think. But I got it on the 3rd of April, so I got another like week to go.
Two weeks. Remember, Discover matches all the cash back you earned on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing. Amazing, because Discover is accepted at 99% of the places where credit cards are taken. In the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes2021. Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Draymond Green appeared on Kevin Durant's podcast. Apparently they've made up. This is Draymond on how their relationship as teammates came to be.
It was this whole narrative of like, you call Kevin crying from the parking lot. I'm like, yo, this can be like, y'all added a theatrical sense to make this movie. Like, you gotta make TV. You gotta add on a little.
I know.
So like, people just start pouring on, bro. But I wasn't about to come out and fight it. Like, at the end of the day,
it was just.
However, y'all think Kevin got here, your mind rolled. What helps you out?
Go with it. And also, OKC, this for OKC fans. They thought me and Dre was hanging out, literally like chilling with each other during the conference finals. And when I heard that, I was like, man, who do y'all think I am? Who do you think Draymond would hang out with me during the conference finals, like over my house? Like, come on, stop the
exactly.
That's from Kevin Durant's podcast. look, my take on this has been different than most people, but it's what they basically alluded to, which is, did Kevin Durant need to get a place where he had space and he had an opportunity to play for a championship to show how good he was? Yes. Did that work? Yes. But let's also remember that, yes, they won 73 games and they came from 3-1 back to beat the Thunder, and they were up 3-1 to beat the Cavs and they lost. But the Warriors, the league was catching up to the Warriors. Harrison Barnes' contract was up. They needed Kevin Durant as much or more than Kevin Durant needed them. For some reason, that's kind of lost. Everybody just assumes like, well, they won 73 games, they won a championship. Well, that was the year before, and they were kind of first in this ability to play small ball, and people were figuring it out. And they never really figured out. They were starting to figure out Durant and those guys, but still probably would have won a championship last year. Most likely.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So my brother's a college assistant. He's been a college assistant for 25 years or so. And if you go and you listen to my podcasts, and there's some really, really good ones, and it's called All Ball. There's a coach named Todd Simon, and Todd is the head coach at Dixie State University. Now, Dixie State is in St. George, Utah. Used to be a really good junior college program. They went Division One, and they actually won their league this year, and now they're moving from that league to the WAC, the Western Athletic Conference. Todd Simon's a really, really, really good dude. And he's somebody who got his start coaching at Finley Prep, right? And at Finley Prep, he was the assistant coach, and he had 12 guys living in a house, and he and his wife had just gotten married. It's a true story. Like, you go to my podcast and you'll check it out. By the way, Todd's the head coach at Southern Utah, not Dixie State. Different school, also in Utah. This one's in I got to figure out where Southern Utah is. Southern Utah is in a different town. It's in Cedar City, Utah. Okay, so they won their league this year. They're also going to the WAC. They'll be alongside Dixie State. Anyway. When my brother got the job at Cal, he was at San Diego State for 8 years. When Steve Fisher first got there, they went from like 6 wins to getting the NCAA tournament, win their conference. So my brother gets to Cal. They need a point guard. So now he's in the Pac-10 and usually can recruit a little higher level of athlete. He goes to Finley Prep. And Finley Prep that year had Tristan Thompson and pro after pro after pro. And he asked Todd Simon, he says, who should I recruit? He says, the Mexican kid with the ponytail. He's like, he's terrible looking. He's like, well, watch him for a little while, and you'll notice that every team he's on and every pickup game seems to win. And on the other team, if it's our team, it's another team, somebody always wants to fight him. My brother coached Jorge Gutierrez 4 years at Cal. He became the Pac-12 player of the year. He played in the NBA. He's gone back and forth between NBA, G League, and playing some in Mexico where he's a superstar. And to this day, every game that Jorge Gutierrez plays in, some of the other team wants to fight him. Now, that may seem like a bad thing, but it's not. And you know who else has that? Patrick Beverley and the Clippers. Rondo's got a little bit of that. Patrick Beverley's got a lot of that. And Patrick Beverley leaned into Suns point guard Chris Paul, giving him an elbow. Two officials were having none of it. They called Beverley for a flagrant 2 foul and ejected him. Clippers end up winning the game 113-101 because they have Rajon Rondo now. Another guy who people will sometimes want to fight. I thought a great pickup as a backup point guard for the trade. More of a true point guard than what Patrick Beverley is. But Pat Beverley, his gift is... some of the other team wants to fight him every game they play. That can be harnessed. That can be used. That can be an absolute positive. Marcus Smart has that ability. Matthew Dellavedova has that ability. Those guys play hard and live around the border of what's clean and what's dirty. And as long as they're on the clean side, they're fine. But it definitely makes guys want to fight. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't, paid for by NHTSA. Let's get you to Brian Finley. Find out what else is going on. B, what do you got?
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Appreciate all the hard work. Let's welcome in another B. Brandon Whedon joins us fresh off a golf course. Where'd you play?
We're at Oak Tree National playing a little Masters kind of tournament. It's a pretty fun little format. It's a two-man best ball with we all pick a pro and our scores and their scores combined. And we didn't finish DFL, but we didn't play very good. We're kind of right in the middle of the pack. So it was fun, though.
Okay. How'd you do? You finished in the pack. How'd you personally play?
Man, some good, some bad. I'm still not there. My game's just not as sharp as I'd like to be. It's still a little early. I mean, we're just now turning the corner and getting green grass. You know, around here it's pretty dormant, and out at Oak Tree the lies can get a little tight. So your iron game's got to be, especially with your wedges, got to be pretty dialed in. And right now I'm just not really hitting it close, making a bunch of pars, not putting it great, but you know, I mean, I don't know, decent but not great, not good enough.
You need a hug? Do you need a hug? Do you want to do?
Please,
a radio?
Man. Yeah, I'm struggling, man. I was feeling sorry for myself this afternoon. I mean, I bet I didn't miss a fairway until the last tee ball, and then, but I still, I mean, I just making a bunch of pars. I can't make any birdies, man. I need some love.
Okay, we'll give you that kind of radio audio hug. You guys ever heard my thing on watching golf on TV on how it's a lot like adult films? Have you guys ever heard that?
I've heard it. I think I heard it last year when we had this conversation.
You did? Really?
I think so.
Okay. Ramos, have you heard it?
The adult stuff?
Yes.
Yes, I heard it as well, yes.
Okay, all right. Should I not go to it? Because you can always pick up a tip from a pro, right? Playing it makes you want to perform it, all these things. All right, we'll get into that probably maybe a little later on in the show. Brandon Whedon is our guest. Okay, so they can have private workouts. But so what Justin Fields and Trey Lance are doing is they're having a second pro day, which is really a private workout, not really a private workout. You've been through it. You've done it. What are those like?
Yeah. You know, each one's different. What's tough about that is, you know, what they're trying to do is get you kind of out of your comfort zone. You know, your pro day is in your comfort zone. Every throw is scripted. You've worked on those throws, probably with those receivers, you know, a handful of times. You know, you can kind of know what to expect. You know what play actions you're going to have. You know, when these teams come in, you know, they're going to throw a couple wrinkles in there. I mean, they're going to, you know, they may get you on the board. They may ask you some, you know, coverage questions, protection questions, stuff like that. Just kind of get you uncomfortable and kind of get you out of your comfort zone a little bit. But I mean, I don't know, man. I always had fun with that. I always kind of liked the challenge of it. You know, the throwing part I never had a problem with. I mean, I feel like back when I was throwing, I feel like, you know, you name a route, I feel like I could have made it. Especially, you know, on air when is what they want. But, you know, these teams, you know, they want to know what they're going to get. I mean, there could be four or five guys taking the first 20 picks. So, you know, these teams are obviously doing their homework and trying to learn more about them. You know, you got a guy like Trey Lance, obviously uber talented, big arm, athletic, you know, but the quality competition he's been playing against, you know, it's just call a spade a spade. It's not what, you know, Mac Jones has played against or Justin Fields and these guys like that. I mean, it's a completely different deal. So they're trying to see, you know, is this guy the real deal up close and personal with their own two eyes and kind of see if, you know, what he does in person kind of matches what they see on tape.
Mac Jones is just, I mean, he had an unbelievable skill set, wide receiver at running back this year as well in Alabama, causing some people to have him rise up the draft boards, maybe to three in San Francisco. But you look at him, you look at Justin Fields, you're like, okay, what am I missing here? Justin Fields looks like all of these new quarterbacks in terms of arm strength, success in college, ability to move the pocket with his legs. How do you, as a guy who's played the quarterback position, and look, you weren't a fleet of foot, but you had a cannon for an arm, you're deadly accurate, you're older, mature, you could read a defense. Like, how do you evaluate the foot speed, athleticism versus the football IQ and readiness to play between those two players?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the perfect package, if you got a guy that's got both, you know, the way the league is, with the way the pass rush is, you've got to be, you know, somewhat mobile, and you got to be able to get out of the pocket, or you've got to have a system that kind of protects that, you know, and keep you in the pocket, maybe max protect, play action, get you away from line of scrimmage, types of things like that, which is what Shanahan does. And I think we briefly talked about that last week. You know, to me, of those two guys, you're talking about Justin Fields and Mac Jones, I think just what I know about Shanahan's offense and what I've seen in college of those two guys, Mac Jones may fit that style of offense maybe a little bit better than maybe Justin Fields. Not to say that Justin Fields can't do it. I mean, the dude's uber talented. I just think, you know, that system kind of protects guys that can't run around. I mean, Tom, you know, there's been several guys, you know, Brady kind of runs a similar system. I mean, they do the play action stuff and they do some similar things, but it, you know, they're going to try to use Mac Jones if they do take him and do the things, the wide zone play action, keep you in the pocket and try to keep him in the pocket, not get him, let him get out outside the pocket. But it's all based on, you know, the team's system for one, two, the guys they have around them. Like you just said, I mean, he was at Alabama, and Mac Jones was at Alabama, and he had just dogs everywhere. It didn't matter what system you're in. I mean, drop back, you know, find Waddle, find Devontae Smith, find somebody and just throw it up. I mean, those guys are so much better. Well, it's not going to be that way in the NFL. It's going to be a little different. So, you know, I just think I hope for this, for those two guys, for all these quarterbacks, they go to a system that fits their need, and they got players around that can help, because those first couple of years in the league, man, it is a humongous learning curve, and I can't stress that enough. I think the jump from, and not necessarily, I mean, everybody talks about the speed, everybody talks about everything else, but, you know, just the complexity of everything you're doing, complexity on offense, complexity on defense. You have so much more on your plate. So, you know, you got to find a guy that's going to fit that need. And that's a big word right now. Everybody, you know, Mel Kiper, every time you turn them on, or him or Todd McShay, it's, do they fit that need? And that's what's going to be most important about these teams that are taking quarterback, especially early on.
Yeah, and then you got to support him once he gets there. I thought this was kind of right up your alley. I was watching Aaron Rodgers, and he said, like, look, I work like 175 days in Green Bay. I have the bandwidth to do that and do Jeopardy. Jeopardy's like 50 days a year. I know that we all want to point out, well, maybe Aaron Rodgers doesn't work as hard as others. Like, look, Tom Brady, he just took a vacation to Qatar. Like, what you do in the offseason, is it possible to have a 50-day second job in the offseason and still be a great quarterback?
Gosh, that's a good question. I mean, I don't think it's ever been done. But, you know, with the way they can film, it sounds like you film these 14 shows or whatever in, like, 5 days. So if you can knock out 50 days worth of work in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you got plenty of time to do that, you know, and just find a way. You know, the TV, the way they do it now, you know. They can find ways to make it look like they aired every night. But it'd be tough. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past that dude. Obviously, he's a very smart, cerebral guy. But, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't count him out. I mean, that's he's at the point in his career where, you know, he's got a pretty good feel of what he wants to do offensively and those defenses. I mean, you know, so even though he studies his tail off, yeah. You know, yes, I think if he wanted to do it, I'm sure he could find a way to make it happen.
Juju Smith-Schuster chose to go back to the Steelers. Now, he said, like, hey, look, I almost went to Kansas City for more money. It was actually just more in incentives. Baltimore is more money and a little bit more in incentives. He had kind of a weird relationship with Big Ben. Not a bad relationship, but when they were both kind of floating around, they weren't. Juju joined us on the show. He's like, I haven't really talked to him. When a guy thinks he's going to go get paid elsewhere and comes back for another year, what's that dynamic like?
I mean, if I'm Ben, I'm excited. I'm honestly a little bit surprised that Juju decided to come back. I mean, I feel like if I'm a young receiver and I got an opportunity to go play with, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, I mean, you can go out and have a hell of a year and parlay that into a 4-year deal, making 20 a year or whatever, you know, whatever the going rate is now. But, not that Ben, you know, Ben played well at times last year, played not so well at times. But I just feel like if I'm a young receiver, especially if I get an opportunity to go play with those two quarterbacks, I mean, that and Andy Reid and, you know, all those guys that, you know, that have these high-flying offenses, I feel like if I'm a receiver, that's kind of what I want to be a part of. But So I was a little shocked. I didn't. Once I knew that other offers on the table, I thought he may decide to go somewhere else, just given where Ben's at in his career and kind of where they're at. I mean, they got a good football team, but maybe he thinks he can be the number one. He's going to get 150 targets this year, and if that's the case, then I definitely don't disagree with him. I think he may have made the right decision. So we'll see. Now, he's a good player, and if he can go have a big year, then go out and he'll make as much money as he can stand to make.
All right, Sam Darnold's kind of going through what you went through, only he's getting a chance to start at his new place, whereas you had to go be Tony Romo's backup, right? But you go through the kind of you're on a bad football team and all of your bad habits come out because you're running for your life, right? This is kind of your life early on in Cleveland at times. If you were to call Sam and go like, hey, man, let me give you a little bit of advice. I've lived your life. I know you're the starter. I was the backup when I went to Dallas. But your second tour of duty, your second team, how do you handle it?
Walk in there like, eyes up, chest back, and this is your football team. I mean, come in there and just be the leader. It's hard to do that when I couldn't do that in Dallas, obviously. He's a young player. I mean, I still think Sam Darnold can play. I really do, and I think he's in a pretty good spot there in Carolina. He's got a couple of really good receivers, obviously a really good back, pretty good offensive line, and a good supporting cast. So, if I'm him, I'm tickled to death. One, I'm going to a team that has a chance to win, but, two, he gets a fresh start. New York's tough. Everybody's beat him up and worn him out up there. Seems like he's got a pretty good head on his shoulders. Man, just go in there and say, hey, look, man, this is, kind of shrug your shoulders and say, man, I got a fresh start. It's a clean slate. Go out there, just kind of embrace your new teammates, get to know everybody, and say, hey, look, here's the deal. We're going to win games, and I'm here for you. I mean, just be the leader. He seems like he is. He's a pretty mellow guy, but he seems like he's a pretty good leader on the field. He's got some savviness to him. So, yeah, it's not easy. It's easier said than done. It's hard to go to a new place and you're changing cultures and try to walk into one and kind of bring on your own. But, everybody now knows. I mean, everybody knows he's a starter. It's his franchise. It's his football team. Go in there and act like it and take the bull by the horns and let it rip, man. Don't hold anything back and let it fly.
What is that interaction with? Again, you came to Tony Romo's team, but you had been a starter in Cleveland. Teddy Bridgewater was the starter, is now going to be back to being like what the first time when you signed with Dallas. And again, granted, it's a different scenario. But what was that first interaction with Tony like at the facility?
It was awesome. I mean, he was like, hey, man, glad to have you. Anything I can do to help, don't hesitate. I'm here to help you. If you got any questions, I'd love to help. He goes, I've seen you obviously play the last couple of years. We played against him in 2000. I think it was 13 in Dallas. I played pretty good. We had a chance to win that game. And it was that. It was, glad to have you. I mean, obviously I'm not putting pressure on him. So he didn't feel like he didn't have a guard up or he wasn't trying to give me the stiff arm. I mean, he was very, very welcoming and kind of welcoming with open arms. And it was great. I mean, he was always great. I learned more. I tell people this, I'm not exaggerating. I learned more in those 2 years with him probably than I did in my 7 years combined in the NFL. Just, watching him work, some of his ideas, some of the nuance, just the little stuff that he, the details that, a lot of people don't work on and worry about. And I learned a lot just kind of sitting there. I didn't say much, didn't ask a lot of questions, but he taught me a lot. And he's, you can see it on TV now. He's a very bright dude.
What was Jason Garrett like?
Jason was awesome. He would come around, the offense a little bit. He had Scott Linehan as the offensive coordinator, and Scott kind of ran the show. I think Jason, had his input. He was always great. And I always had a good time around him. He's a super nice guy. He's very I don't want to say not cliche is not the word, but he's got his routine. I tell people the first team meeting I walked into when I was in Dallas. I mean, you'd have thought the president was speaking. I mean, he gave his team speech the first, time we were all together as a team. And he gave his little team meeting speech. And I was like, oh my God, I almost had to turn around and look and see if he was reading off a teleprompter. I mean, he's a machine, he's just, everything he does is, you know, kind of cut and dry, and you know, there's no, you know, no craziness there. He just he's got a routine to him, but he was a great guy, and you know, in my opinion, did a pretty good job down there. He had a tough job, and you know, he won a bunch of games for that franchise.
All right. Well, we've given you the audio hug. You've given us a ton of information. Now go back and have a nice iced tea or a cold drink, a cold beer, and get after it again tomorrow. You do get to play again tomorrow, don't you?
No, we're done. I'm headed to the lake with some buddies first thing in the morning. So first I got to go call plays at this kindergarten flag football game here in about an hour and a half. So that'll stress me out. I'm sure I'll have to have a couple cold drinks after that. But then, I'm going to get up and go
after,
to the lake.
After, during, brother. During. That's the thing. Like, I'm not coaching flag football tonight. I got basketball tonight, but the flag football is at 4:30. So be like, I'll have a cold one during the game if I'm not coaching.
I may have to sneak a Yeti or something in there just to see if I, yeah, because it, man, I tell you what, it's herding cats, but it's a lot of fun.
I'm sure it is. At the lake, you water skiing, you jet skiing, you driving the boat. What's your game?
No, we're going to, just like I said, some buddies, we're going to go play golf in the morning, and then we're going to get the boat in the afternoon. We'll probably just go out, tie up, have a cooler full of beer, and kick back. Now, the water's too cold here, man. We haven't turned the corner weather-wise, so it's a little too chilly to get in the water. So I'm just going to, kick back, relax. I've been dadding pretty hard, so I need a couple of days to have a little restart here.
I've been dadding pretty hard.
And then I'll come back and dad hard.
I've been dadding pretty hard.
I told my wife, I said, listen, I'm going to be watching the Masters regardless. So I can either sit on the couch and watch the Masters here, or I can go to the lake with my buddies and watch the Masters there. She's like, get your ass out of here. Go to the lake. Get away from me. So I got a free pass. I'm out. I'm going.
That's awesome. Way to take control. Good job. Enjoy the lake. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
That's my boy, Brandon Whedon. Living it right, right? Golf on a Friday, lake on a Saturday. Coach a little flag football on Friday night. Can't beat that, buddy. It's good living. Good living. I am not a one-ski guy on water skis. But I got to find out how to do the wake surfing. I got to do that this summer.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Well, just that simple fact. I Ramos, are you a concert guy?
I love concerts, yes.
Okay. I saw one of my favorite bands. Like, there's a concert that starts. They had dates for actual concerts. Like, we're like tepid in our, like, can we do this? Can we have concerts?
I'm not sure of the rules yet, right?
I think we're, it's in May, really, but I think, does anybody know of any concerts that are actually taking place?
I've seen some concerts that are getting prepared, like you have, outdoors, space, you know, people spaced out and stuff like that. So, yeah, not anything indoors yet, but definitely outdoors.
I would guess, like, in Texas, right? There has to. Yeah. Texas, we're going to, like, screw it. Everything's open. We're going to do it. Tech 99 or whatever. Has a show in Austin. My son wanted to tell me that. Dad, Tech 99 is doing it. I was like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And then my daughter's into Green Day, and she was like, Green Day's in Dallas. We saw, because Green Day was supposed to go on tour last year, we saw this private little show at the iHeart Theater, which is in Burbank, California. It was awesome. There's just a couple hundred people. It was amazing. And then, of course, their tour was canceled. So this is going to be a crazy, crazy summer. Let's get to the press.
The press.
All right, Brian Finley, what do we got?
Yeah, Doug. So the Raiders are bolstering their secondary. They, remember, in 2016 drafted and signed Carl Joseph in the first round, and they are bringing him back at the safety position, taking him from the Cleveland Browns.
Mm. Huh.
Who's Carl Joseph's coming back?
Carl Joseph is coming back to the Raiders.
Okay. What does it say? What money?
It doesn't say the money yet, but of course you remember he was the 14th overall pick in that 2016 draft. Had 1 year with Cleveland and now is bouncing back to the team that drafted him.
One.
Well, they're also switching back in terms of defensive style, so that probably helps him as well.
Oh no!
Doug, you brought this up earlier in the show, and I wanted to talk about it. The Cincinnati Bearcats firing their head basketball coach, John Brannon, after there was a probe into the program. He was put on leave earlier. There have been reports about his mistreatment of players. And since this season ended for the Bearcats, six of the guys on that roster put their name into the transfer portal.
Well, they had a disappointing year. I don't know if that's why they put it in or whatever he said and did to these players, but... they got him out, right? They got him out in a hurry. That was kind of alarming at how quickly that took place.
Hasta la vista.
Trevor Bauer, according to one report by ESPN, is unlikely to face discipline over these cheating allegations, where there were reports that he might have doctored baseballs.
That's a lie.
According to MLB investigation, they're in this information gathering mode right now, and so they're not ready, at least right now, to penalize anybody for such shenanigans.
You go penalize, not penalize.
That was my main takeaway, too.
I'm just saying, you go penalize, not penalize,
that's
right? You say
cool.
Tomato, I say tomato. Exactly. You say penalize, yeah. I say penalize.
That's it, man. It's
that San Diego accent.
Yes, completely. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Yay.
Also, Rusty Hardin, of course, the attorney for Deshaun Watson, he had this press conference today, and he admitted that Watson at times would have consensual sex with massage therapists. He would not deny that.
Do we have sound of that? Not the consensual sex, no. What kind of show do you think this is? No, Rusty Hardin said it. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, like, that defense usually doesn't work. Just going to sit here and go, like, that defense usually doesn't work. But, okay. I mean, like, look, my takeaway is I don't know what Deshaun Watson did or did not do. I do know that arranging massage therapists and the endings to such, like, apparently that's his thing. Right? That's his thing.
Right.
Got one more. Tony Romo, you know, he predicts football plays on television. Now he thinks that Will Zalatoris is going to win the Masters. And by the way, Zalatoris is in second place right now.
Roger
so
that.
He might have something
when,
going for him.
When did his prediction, was it this today after he's in second? Was it before the tournament started? When was it?
Jim Nance reported on television that Tony Romo said to him that before this tournament started, keep an eye on Zalatoris. He is going to win this thing.
Wow, pretty good.
That was the press.
Well, whether you're Dan Byron, you take the day off to watch the Masters, just enjoy the weekend, right? I think, you know, hopefully you can get vaccinated, whatever state, whatever county you're in, figure it out, get online. You know, I know there are some side effects. I had mine. I'm kidding. I had mine a couple hours ago. Totally normal. I'm totally normal. I'm such a my horrible human being. I'm kidding. Be safe. Be healthy out there. Have a great weekend. And if you're dad in a bunch, right? Nobody said dad in a bunch. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.